96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Every year on this date, America honors the men and women who have served this nation in the armed forces. There is pomp and circumstance, pride and remembrance, but so many of those veterans return home from the trauma of war, changed inside and out. So how do they return to the society they left, and how do they cope with the scars that they may carry with them? Well, my guests have thoughts about those questions. Tammy Lambert is an Army veteran, mental health counselor, and member of the Women's Veterans Interactive. Antoinette Scott is a disabled veteran who served in the Army. And Stephen Botello is a U.S. Navy vet and a veteran services volunteer for nearly 25 years. The lines are open. We want to talk about this. I want to hear about your thoughts about returning to society from wars overseas. The lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it. And certainly, happy Veterans Day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let us first talk to Antoinette. Antoinette, you are disabled after a very horrific experience, to say the least, overseas. Can you give us an idea of what happened to you?
Yes. I served in Iraq in the very beginning of our entry into war in 2003. I served with the 547 Transportation Company right outside of D.C. for the D.C. Armory, and I drove five-ton vehicles on a daily basis in Iraq. On this particular day, I was driving with troops on the back of my vehicle and was hit by a direct impact from an IED, improvised explosive device, directly to my face and head, neck, and upper extremities.
What lingering damage has that done to you, not only physically, but also mentally, if any?
Mentally, we as veterans don't always discuss the mental scars that we experience, but it's a lot. We don't function the same. We don't come back the same. You see us and we look the same, but our habits and our daily activities are different. We don't really want to be bothered. We don't like crowds. We don't want to do collaborative activities. We become loners. Even when we're at home with our family and the what's most comfortable to us in our comfort zone, we'll find a way to even seclude ourselves, even in our most comfortable space, which is home, to just always be alone.
I want to ask you more about that, too, because you are, you have a family. You're a mother. One of your daughters is here.
Yes.
Lovely girl. But I want to make sure that I bring my other guests into this conversation. You know, we've spoken to the Women's Veterans Interactive for several years now. Tammy, can you give me a little more detail as to the kinds of situations that these returning vets often experience when they try to reintegrate themselves into society?
Yes, I can. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
There's several things. I want people to really understand that people tend to think that once we return and our boots have hit the ground, and we're back in the United States of America, all difficulties have ceased, right? In reality, the that's not true, right? Actually, I think it's even intensified, or it becomes a little more severe, because now you're trying to make that transition from when you were living in a place that you had constant fear to now that you're in a place that you're supposed to be safe, but you can't leave the memories or whatever happened to you in Iraq there. So, normalizing everything that Antoinette just said, you know, it's very common for, you know, veterans to come back and become isolated, unable to articulate the challenges that they faced. And if they are articulating them, who do they articulate them with? Because, you know, you realize the people that you come home to may not have never, you know, they have not seen these experiences that you have, that you were exposed to. So a lot of veterans come back changed. I commonly say, because I did mental health when I was in the military, and like Antoinette, I was over there when they declared war. So my combat stress control team was augmented to First Armor Division. And so I had a lot of conversations with service members who had remorse, you know, for surviving, were injured but were afraid to go home because they said that they needed to be with their fellow service members. Mm-hmm. Those of them who were trying to be leaders in a situation where you don't really know how to be a leader, you know, because the military trains you to be a leader. However, psychologically, your mindset changes a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So coming back, though, for me, and let me just kind of speak for me, and then I can kind of, you know, bring it back around. For me, my life became extremely sobering, and I also isolated myself because I really didn't know who really to have these discussions with, mm-hmm. with my experiences there, as well as my experience as a counselor.
Well, hold on. Let me stop you there, Tammy, because I do want to go into much deeper detail as it relates to, you know, coping not only with some of the, you know, the mental and emotional situations, but also some of the physical things and just kind of reintegrating your life with, you know, a society that may not understand what you've been through. But I want to make sure that I share this conversation with Steve, because there was big news yesterday. There was the announcement from Veterans Affairs Secretary Robert McDonald that he is aggressively making changes in the wake of the scandal regarding Veterans Affairs. He's going to fire 100 doctors, administrators, staffers. He's cleaning house. He wants to hire new people. He wants to streamline and may make changes. Steve, you've been dealing with military veterans and this issue for decades. Your thoughts about these changes that the secretary is trying to make?
It's a good start. It needs to happen. All the things that you heard about recently in the news in the last 4 to 6 months, I, of course, had heard over the years. You never quite were able to pin it down, because if you were, you'd solve that problem. But all the unfortunate things that happened to the vets, the 40 vets or so that supposedly passed away before they even got medical service, the folks working in the VA. There are a lot of good people at the VA, mm-hmm. just so you know. The VA is the second largest government entity behind DOD. They have over 300,000 employees. So you can figure an organization that large is going to have anomalies. But unfortunately, the VA has had a history of that dating back to the 50s and 40s.
Mm-hmm. Well, hold that point, because I've got to take a break. But when we come back, I want you to finish that point. And I also want to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. We're talking about bringing the veterans home and reintegrating them back into society. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about military veterans and how do they return to the society they left? How do they cope with the scars that they carry with them because of the traumas of war? Well, my guests are Tammy Lambert. She is an Army veteran, mental health counselor, and member of the Women's Veterans Interactive, and Antoinette Scott, a disabled veteran who served in the Army. Also with us, Stephen Botello, a U.S. Navy veteran and a veteran services volunteer for nearly 25 years. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. 319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Before the break, Stephen, you were commenting on Secretary Robert McDonald's move to restructure the Veterans Affairs Department. Please continue.
Yes. Basically, that's a very good start. He's letting folks know throughout the VA and nationwide, we're here to fix the system. We're here to make it better for the vets. And he has gone over a large hurdle, letting folks know that he will let people go. He will fire people. He will hold people accountable for their failure to perform the services that they are supposed to be giving for the veterans.
Is it going to be not just an issue of changing the staff and changing the administration, but also money too? Some billions of dollars have been allocated.
Money is always necessary. It's the grease that makes the bureaucracy work. But the biggest thing here is a change in approach, change in attitude, making people accountable, and letting them know that this is a service that they're performing for the veterans. It's a life-saving service. The veterans have, for many of them, this is the only care and capabilities that they have for the injuries that they have suffered. And it's imperative, absolutely imperative, that they get the best that we can provide. We gave them that commitment when they enlisted, and we need to uphold that.
Let me go back to the phone lines at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Mike, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you for having my call. First of all, I just calling in just to thank the vets for their service that they have done to this country. And to me, the best way to honor the veterans is, like the guest said, is to make sure that they get the benefits that they need and deserve, because they earned that right. They went out and they fought hard for this country. And, you know, to me, every time I see a homeless vet out in the street, it just breaks my heart to see that, because to me, no vet that gave their lives fighting in any war should ever have to worry about coming back home and be homeless. And it's just disgraceful. And I hope that these millionaire politicians that you see put their money where their mouth is and give these vets what they truly deserve.
Okay, Mike, thank you so much for your phone call. Portia, calling from Manassas, Virginia, what's on your mind? Portia, are you there? Portia, I guess we lost Portia. Give us a call back, Portia, if you want to make a comment. Anthony, calling from Randallstown, quickly, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I'm a general contractor. We do design and construction on rehabilitative housing for veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And I have 8 clients that I've done design work for, representing the VA for, over the period of the last 2 years. And we've only renovated one project in a 2-year period, waiting on the VA to approve this process. Mm-hmm. And during that time frame, 2 of my veteran clients have died waiting on the VA to approve these grants.
Hmm. Anthony, I need you to hold on, because I do want to talk to you about this issue, because, again, this seems to be one of the things that we have heard. It's not just always about, you know, medical issues. Sometimes it may have to do with contracting. But I'd like for you to share a little bit more about your experience on the other side. So please hang on. Also, if you are on the line, Jay, Deborah, and we have another call, an anonymous call calling from Manassas. Please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We're talking about our veterans and how to bring them back into society once they return from the wars. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.